Psalm chapter 145. You know, as we get into these last psalms of the book, you know, praise has always been a huge part of our understanding of the Psalms and our study of the Psalms. But it is more so kind of concentrated in these last six psalms or so. And so I really want to encourage you that if your praise life, you know, your time of praise with the Lord is a bit lacking. And, you know, I think there's probably, most of us can recognize that sort of a thing. We're quick to come to the Lord at difficult times, but in times of praise, you know, sometimes we struggle a little bit, you know, coming to Him during times of victory and joy. We tend to kind of go just about our business, you know. As soon as life starts falling apart, we're quick to run to God, usually anyway. But we need to be better praisers. I don't know how to say it better than that. We need to improve our praise life, right? And so I want to encourage you that as we get into these last psalms here, that you might consider marking these in your Bible as some helps along those lines to just to use for praise, because these are just amazing. And this Psalm 145 is the last psalm that is said to be authored by King David. It is titled A Psalm of Praise, and it is very much that. David says in verse 1, I will extol you, which is to rejoice in you, to be exuberant in my praise, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. And you know, it's apparent as we get into this Psalm 145 that David loved to praise the Lord. I don't know if that describes you or not. I don't know if you love to praise the Lord, but David loved to do it. But I don't think it was just simply that he loved to praise. I think that with David, it was that he truly saw God as deserving of his praise, you know? And that is what generated this heart of praise, is that God is deserving, and so it bubbled forth. So as we read through this, take note how many times David speaks directly of something that is true and praiseworthy of the Lord. You're going to see that a lot in this psalm. He begins by saying in verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. So the first thing David says here is that the Lord is great. The next thing he says is that his greatness is unsearchable, which means unfathomable, or, you know, it's impossible to comprehend or to mine the depths of God's greatness. He goes on to say, and this is true today, he says, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And we're doing that today, aren't we, right now? He says, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. And then he says, they shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. I have to wonder if one of the reasons why praise came so easily to David, and we're assuming that it did, it may not have come easily, but I have to wonder if it's because of what he says in verse 5. Where he simply makes this determination that he's going to meditate on the wondrous works of God. I have a sense that that was it. That was his key. That was that secret, if you will, you know, just meditating on the majesty and the wondrous works of God. And what came forth from that was a life of praise. Look at verses 8 and 9. I love these verses. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. So take those verses, right? You see, you heard me read them. I assume you had your Bible there and you read along. Here's the question. Do you believe it? Do you believe what we just read? You know, most of us in the good times of our lives, we're going to easily say, yeah, sure, I believe that. Yeah, hey, you know, praise the Lord. You know, look what he actually said in these verses. First of all, the Lord is gracious. And then he said, merciful. God is merciful. You understand what that means, right? It means that we don't deserve, you know, really anything good from him. And in fact, what we do deserve is punishment. But he doesn't give it to us. That's being merciful. And so he says God is slow to anger. He says that he's abounding in not just love, steadfast love. That means the love that doesn't change, the love that doesn't go away, the love that doesn't run dry. That is what he is abounding in. I used to listen, I don't know if any of you know who Gail Irwin is. I haven't heard or seen Gail in several years now, but he used to frequent a lot of Calvary Chapel pastors conferences years ago that I would attend. And he had this way of saying that idea of abounding in love. And he would make us all say it. And we all felt foolish because he would make us say abounding in love. And he'd say, come on, guys, say it with me. And we're all like, give me a break. But you know, you say it enough times and you start to kind of think, what does this mean? You know, there's this abounding love that God has for us. The point is, we read these verses and they just kind of go, and he's abounding in love. Oh, praise God. You know? Rather than really thinking about the fact, you know, that he's abounding in steadfast love. How we need to really lay hold of that, you know? And the fact that we don't really hear what those words are saying sometimes is how we respond to God in difficult times. We come to God and we say, hey God, what's going on? Why are you allowing this to happen? Rather than understanding that he is still abounding in steadfast love toward us. Notice he also says the Lord is good to all. His mercy is over all that he has made, his whole creation. Verse 10, all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. One day you and I are going to see with our own eyes the glorious splendor of God's kingdom. He says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So again, this is a great psalm of praise. Again, I want to just encourage you, if you find yourself weary, and particularly weary to the point where you're just unable to really focus on praise, open up psalms like this one and just read them. Read them out loud. And even if the words don't come from your heart, let the words come from your mouth. Let it start there. Just let them pour out of your mouth and let your heart come along for the ride later if that has to be the case. It's not hypocrisy to just speak those words. It's not hypocritical at all. You just speak them. You speak them by faith. You speak of the goodness of the Lord. There's times we need to do that, Christians, and especially during the hard times. We need to speak of the goodness of God. We need to declare the goodness of God, even if we're the only one in the room. even if you're the only one listening at the moment, speak it out, you know, declare it because it's true. And let your heart be ministered to by those words.